Today on Real Radio.
The results are not ours. We're not supposed to care about the results. We're supposed to be faithful. We share Jesus. The outcome is with God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about reconciliation and describes the new life believers now have with their Creator, who is holy and cannot know sin. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called, well, quite simply, Get a Life.
There is no way. Now, don't raise your hand, because I'm sure you'd all raise your hand. But if I were to ask you, how many of you want to be near God or to know God or to be one with God and saved and know that heaven? You'd all raise your hands. How does that happen? Because God, by his prevenient grace, put that in you to think God thoughts. He put it in you to want God. It's an amazing thing. God is always previous. So how are you going to respond to that offer? In Romans 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Pause right there. Look at the screens or look at your Bibles. Don't you love that? "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." What does that mean? The world was alienated from God, as I said. Jesus died on the cross for a lost world. We need to remember this, church, when people say, "Oh, your God doesn't love people." You need to remember this to tell them. While we were enemies, God was at work reconciling us. Look, reconciled to God through the death of his son, not your son, not your life, his son. "Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Church, is Jesus alive? How sure is your salvation? Well, it's only as sure as Jesus being alive. Aren't you glad he's eternal? Oh, man. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the definite article, the reconciliation. What does that mean? The reconciliation is the power, listen, the power of God resides in every Christian who's been reconciled to God. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a relationship with God for real. You know what happens if it's for real? You now have the ability, because you've received reconciliation, to pass it along. What do you mean? I'll tell you more of this in a moment. Listen to this. Regarding his revelation in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, "Without question," without debate the word means, "this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ," that's the incarnate Christ, "was revealed in a human body, vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken," that is the word is, "returned back to heaven in glory." God came. Think of that. So what does it mean to us? Jack, you're telling me all this amazing thing. Watch. What does it mean? What does it mean? When it announces here that God in eternity has a plan to reach us, to reconcile us to him, he turns right around to the Christian. Watch this. The Christian. He turns right around to those who have come to know Jesus Christ, and he imparts to us, listen, the power to be able to reconcile not only with others, but to reach out to a world that is not reconciled to God and have them or invite them to be reconciled to God. This is radical if you hear this, if you'll receive this. What God did in total, he turns around to his family, his children, and he says, "Be like me." Well, in what way? Because there's a lot of people running around the globe saying that they're little gods. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because I am your God, and because you have my word, my spirit dwells in you. Does he not, says the Bible? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in you. Okay, so what? What's the deal, God? Okay, I want you to go out into the world now and be like me to them. And you think about that for a moment. We call it ministry. And you might say, well, yeah, Pastor, isn't that what you do? You go do ministry? Go along now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says every Christian has a ministry. Every one of us. So listen, you want to know what your ministry is? Do you know anybody? Do you know anyone? I'm all alone in the world. No, you know what? If you bump into someone, you now have a ministry. Oh, God, show me, just show me what I should do in life. God, speak to me. And the mailman comes to your door, FedEx, the dog catcher, neighbors. Yeah, okay, fine. Get out of my way. Really? Can't you tell I'm praying? God, show me what I'm supposed to do. And you hear about a neighbor three doors down, they broke their ankle. Okay, yeah, sorry. All right. Hey, I'll take out your trash next week. God, show me. Show me what you want me to do. He's been showing you. Respond to that. What do we do this with life? I met a guy recently. He's great. Pastor Jack, I need some advice. I met a girl. She's a Christian, loves the Lord. She's beautiful. She's amazing. It's awesome. Jesus first and everything. It's just great. We're keeping ourselves pure. It's fantastic. She's fantastic. And I go, yeah. Do you love her? I love her so much. So what are we talking about here? And he goes, I don't know. Just, what do you think? Do I marry her? Do I ask her to marry me? I go, you want someone else to marry her? This is a great, and I'm dead serious. Do you want someone else? I don't know. Do you want someone else to marry her? No. Okay, buddy, listen up. Dude, listen. It's great you love her, but you got to think here. Christian men, you know they love the Lord, but it's a little light up there. Where is she right now? She's going to get off work in about an hour. Get over there. Get to work, her work. Ask her to marry you. Just like that. Honestly, can you believe this? Don't let her get out of your sight, dude. She's beautiful. She loves Jesus. She's wonderful. You're impressed with her spirituality. What are you doing talking to me? Get there now. It's so strange. The gospel, God's plan for your life. God, just show me a sign. Oh, I would love to just... Come here, I'll give you a sign. Boom. Do it. It's amazing. God has called you into the ministry, Christian. Listen, he saved you. From what? From hell. Yes. And then what are you going to do between now and heaven? That's a good question. No. Get busy for God. Well, I'm an engineer. I work 12 hours a day. So, look, you have an engineering job to put food on your table. That's it. You go in 12 hours a day. You're at that job. You are a minister of the gospel first, before you're an engineer. Yeah, but the company's paying me. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to be clear. I really am a stickler on this. If you're in company time, you give the company 100%. You never go witness to somebody during company time. Wait for break. It's about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. Wait for break. You have 15 minutes to give Jesus. Listen, that's an eternity. 15 minutes? You can give Jesus. You say, no, we can't share Jesus in our company. Oh, yeah, you can. No, there's a rule. They'll fire you. No, they won't. This is how you're going to do it. Dear God in heaven, I'm willing and I'm ready. Bring someone to me who needs to hear your truth. Oh, you guys, I work at a church. It's pretty boring here. I loved working in the world. I loved it. Because we had those rules. You can't share Jesus. So this is a dilemma. And then the Lord says, it's not for me. It's not a dilemma. Ask me to open the door. Hey, I can do that. God, open the door. And people will come to you. Now, it was cool when your boss comes and says, hey, what's the deal? Well, I'll tell you at break. That's what I told him. My boss said, tell me, what's the deal? I said, I'll tell you at break. We're on company time. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. That freaked him out. Like my boss became a Christian. Listen, you can't lock Jesus out. And you can share Christ without violating the company rules. God has given you a ministry. This is our third and final point. Mark it down, if you would. It's this. That regarding this, that Jesus Christ changes everything. The most wonderful thing about this to me is that everything, church, listen, don't take this wrong, but everything, in a sense, comes through us or comes back to us. You say, what do you mean by that? Jesus Christ is not physically here in this world. I think we get that part. But in a sense, he is in this way, through the hands and the feet of a believer. Are you with me? Now look, could God write in the sky the gospel right now to the whole world? Of course. In fact, in the tribulation period, he's going to do that. Remember? He's going to announce it in the sky. But he's not doing that right now. So why doesn't he do it right now? Because he's got a better plan right now. Couldn't God shake the earth and then get everyone's attention to say, I'm God, believe in me! He could. He's got a better plan. That better plan is you and I telling those that are around us. An angel can't do it. Life events can't do it. He has empowered the Christian, you and I, to go do it. And I hope this blesses you. I want you to think about this. When I say that everything comes from us, I'm saying it this way. Unknown to that lost world that you and I live in, they're not going to read the Bible. They're not going to download the app, or they're not going to listen to the scriptures. They're going to see the Bible through you. They're going to hear about it through you. That's designed by God. And church, listen, that lost world, how's Jesus reaching them? Yeah, when I say everything comes from us, we are to be now the voice. Look, the voice of God to a culture that is lost. We're to speak it. Just make sure you're speaking the word. We are to reach out. Just make sure you're reaching out to them in the name of Jesus. Not your own name. Your feet. This family that just lost their daughter. Well, they didn't lose their daughter. They know exactly where she is. They're going to need the love of people here who know them, and they're being loved on. Listen, in a sense, God's love and manifestation becomes physical through us, the Christian. We are not saved and put on a shelf waiting for our heart attack or waiting for the shark to bite. Right? This is very important. And I want to challenge all of us in this room today, don't settle for that if that's you. Don't settle for it if you're just kind of biding time and waiting for the Lord to return. Or for you to, what, come to the end of your days? The Bible says that God has empowered you with the power of reconciliation. That you and I, when we go out, we might be very impressed if we saw an entourage of some sort of a priestly gang. You know, look at them. Who are those guys? They're the priest of whatever. Wow, look at them. There they go. You know what? When you and I live, that's us. And we've got to be in our culture. We've got to look like those around us. But you know, we're aliens. C.S. Lewis put it this way, that when Jesus Christ came in physical manifestation of both himself and the Word of God to the world for 33 and a quarter years, that he came to enemy-occupied territory. I like that. And he started recruiting people. Ooh, I like that. To overthrow a rogue government, Satan's realm. I like that. I like the way C.S. Lewis thinks anyway. That's us. Does not the Bible say that we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land? Aren't you happy that this earth's not our home? I'm so glad. There's religious groups who want to conquer the world for them. You can have it. You have to conquer it for me. I'll give it to you. You can have my little 10,000 square foot acreage, my ranch of 10,000 square feet with my little 1,400 square foot home on it. You want the world? You can have the world. Who wants the world? We want the world. Have you looked at the world lately? Are you sure you want it? Now, listen, Jesus is going to come back and fix the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and I'm very happy about that. So listen to these verses, and we're going to wrap this up. And as I share these verses, listen, when Paul spoke these verses to the Corinthian believers, when he said them, he had this in mind, and we studied this a few weeks or months ago. He had this in mind when he gave this verse. Do you remember Gideon with his pots, his clay pots with the torches inside? If you know the story, fantastic, you got it. If you don't read your Bible, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's awesome. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I'll read it in the Bible, and then I'll read it in a translation version. Listen, Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels. That's an awesome statement. We have the gospel inside of us clay people. We're made out of basic 14 elements. We're made out of dirt. We got an eternal truth inside of us, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen to the New Living Translation. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power, do you have great power in your life? That this great power is from God, not from ourselves. What does that look like? Jesus said it this way in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, that's where it started, Judea, Samaria, Chino Hills, to the ends of the earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? Has that not happened? Are you a skeptic in the house? Didn't that happen? You sitting here right now reveals that it happened. Isn't that awesome? It's excellent. And so, this treasure, here's the fun part, and we end. With Gideon, when Paul had that in his mind, 2 Corinthians 4, Gideon, they were weak. Gideon was weak. God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Is this corny or what? Can you imagine telling the SEALs, okay, SEAL team 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever numbers we have. Oh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get into enemy-occupied territory. I want you to get right near. Well, you go out there at night, it's darkest time of the hour, I mean the night, which is just before the dawn, so I don't know, maybe 3, 4 a.m. I want you guys to light torches inside of, each of you carry a big pot, big clay pot. Put your torch inside the pot, light the torch, but keep the torch in the pot. And then advance toward the enemy, very quietly. And then make sure that you are within viewing distance of the enemy. And then I want you to shout as loud as you can to get their attention. I don't know how that sounded, but wow, must have been amazing. And these are Israeli farm boys and stuff. I don't know, was it like, hey! I mean, I don't think it was real manly-like because they're all really weak. And God's got to get the glory. Because don't we, I mean, we expect to see these guys like commandos. They got muscles on top of muscles. They got tattoos. No, they're Jews. They don't have tattoos. But anyway. Anyway, you know what I mean? They got a cigar, flat top. Arr. What are we going to do next? Can you imagine God saying, okay, put your torch in a pot. What? What about bows and arrows? No. Put that aside. This is a pretty embarrassing military operation, huh? What is the operation? Operation Crackpot. And you shout, hey, hey! And then he says, as soon as you shout, crack the pots, why, just break them. And the moment you do that, the torches will be instantly revealed. And when the enemy saw that, they went, this is none other than the power of God. And it's kind of funny because this is the power of God and the power of Gideon, which is Gideon had to just go, are you kidding me? Me? Power? But that's what it says. Listen, Gideon had the power as long as he was with God. And when Paul said, in these earthen vessels of ours, inside dwells us the light of the gospel. And we crack our pots when we have no more excuses. God, you know, can't you send the call ministry to evangelize my neighbor? Can't you have the evangelistic outreach from the church talk to my friends? Can't you? No. You do it. But God, and you know this but God stuff, right? You know that battle we go through when God says, do this. Your neighbor's got a broken foot. Go over there, and I'm going to tell you what to do. But God, and he'll say, crack the pot. Because when I start dying to what I want or don't want is when God starts shining in my life. And inside of us is this incredible power of the gospel that transforms people's lives. We happen to be a little mediator. We're like nothing. Hey, excuse me, I'd like you to meet God. That's what we do. We invite people to meet God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've invited so many people in so many places. I've only led a handful of people to the Lord over the course of my life, and it really bugs me. Because I've witnessed to a lot of people. And I've been to Russia and Germany and England and Mexico and stuff, and I'll share to 20 people all day long, sharing, telling them, arguing in a good way, Jesus, and you want to pray? No, I'll see you. And it's like, and then you got people like Greg Laurie, who just walk by someone. It's like pixie dust. People get saved when they walk by. You can hear birds singing, violins playing. I don't have that gift. Raul Reese, you ever seen Raul Reese? Raul Reese is, he's talking. You can't understand a word he's saying, and people get saved. So what is this? It's of God. Crackpot, it's of God. Listen, the results are not ours. We're not supposed to care about the results. We're supposed to be faithful. We share Jesus. The outcome is with God. Don't ever now leave this building today and say, well, you know, I just don't know if I'm really gifted at that. You do it anyway. You tell them. The Bible says we are all to do the work of an evangelist. There's a lot of dying people you and I meet up with. And the only way they're going to hear the ministry of life is through the ministers of light. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. And you've got to tell them. Give them hope. Give them Jesus. They may not accept Christ today. But you know what? They may accept him on their deathbed. They may accept them just a few days before they enter eternity. In the end, ladies and gentlemen, church family, we have a glorious finish. Well, I don't know. You know, it's very difficult. Hey, we have a glorious end in our retirement program. Oh, it's so good up there, the streets are made of gold.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about how believers who trust the Messiah for their salvation are now reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. For what it's worth, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.